does Eov suffer the way he suffers? If you take a look at Perek Aleph, which describes an interesting conversation between God and the Satan, let's take a look at Pasuk Vav. It says, Vayayom, Vayavo, B'nei Elokim, Lityatev al Hashem, Vayavo, Gam HaSatan B'tocham. The angels come before God. Interesting way of describing the angels, by the way. B'nei Elokim. Come before God, and the Satan comes with them. And Hashem says to the Satan, hey, where you been, Satan? Which is also an interesting part of the conversation, which we'll get to. And the Satan says to Hashem, I've been flying around the world. Okay. And Hashem says to the Satan, Pasuk Chet, did you see my cool Eved Eov? There's nobody like him. He's an ish tam v'yashar, yirei Elokim v'sar meira. And the Satan says to him in Pasuk Tet, ha, you think he does this for nothing? Pasuk Yud, you're so nice to him, you give him so much good stuff. Of course that's why he respects you and loves you so much. Pasuk Yud Aleph, punish him, make him suffer, then see how he'll respond. And Hashem says, okay, take him down, let's see what happens. You read the text here, Pashup Shot, it makes it sound like God and Sutton have a bet. And poor Eov is, you know, what can you do? I mean, you know, collateral damage is a bet, and, you know, Eov's going to somebody who wants to suffer. Obviously, any God-fearing, believing person, you know, doesn't believe that this is the case. And I think if you look carefully at the text already gives you a little bit of an indication. But before we get to the text, this question is a question that was related to by the Rishonim. If you take a look at the top of the Makoro Chit, the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim, for example, Chelek Gimel Perek Chof Beis, the Rambam has a lengthy discussion about Eov in different places in the Moreh Nevuchim. We'll be referencing it throughout. The Rambam writes, V'hanifla shebezeh ha'inyanu, the amazing thing about Eov is, shelo tuar Eov b'chochma. It doesn't say Eov was smart. V'lo amar ish chacham o mevin o maskil. All it says is that he had good midos. Right? What does it say about Eov in the very beginning, Pasuk Aleph? He's a Tam, a Yashar, Yirei Elokim, Sur Meira. I think most of us would see that list and say Eov was a good guy. The Rambam says, what doesn't it say about Eov? It doesn't say he was a Chacham. Oh, he wasn't a Chacham. That's why he suffered so terribly. That's what the Rambam writes. Which I think, you know, we can understand very well in light of the Rambam's emphasis on the importance of Chachma. But it's a little hard to understand that he would suffer so terribly because he happened to not have been created with such wisdom. Unless you see that wisdom is something he should have acquired for himself, and if he didn't acquire it, it's his own fault. But I definitely don't think when you read the Sefer, you're thinking to yourself, oh, it doesn't say he's a Chacham, that's why he suffered this way. many other Rishonim, the Ramban for example, the Abar of Enel for another example, they also have introductions to Sefer Eov where they, you know, they identify flaws potentially in who Eov was, very often Lishitasam, about what's valuable, what's not valuable. But I think beyond what the Rishonim write, if you're looking carefully at the text, you can see, I think, an indication of something that might have been wrong with Eov. Let's take a look at what the Tanakh tells us about Eov. So after telling us in Pasuk Aleph that he's a person with good character, it says in Pasuk Bet, Vayivoldu lo shiva vanim v'shalosh banot. It says he had 7 boys and 3 girls. And then it tells you about his possessions, Pasuk Gimel. Mikneu shivat alafim alfeit zon, shloshet alafim gmalim, v'chamesh meot semet bakar. He was loaded. He had a lot of cattle, things that were significant in those days. It says in the end of Pasuk Gimel, v'yihi ha'isha hu gadol mikol b'nei kedem. He was greater than all the people in his region. So he had 10 children and a lot of possessions. And the latter, the former, made use of the latter. Pasuk Dalet, v'olchu v'nav, v'yasu mishteh, Beit Yishyomo, his children were people who partied, and they would call together their siblings to eat and drink with them. And in Pasuk Hey it says that at the end of a round of parties, Vayiki Kifu Yemei Amishteh, Vayishlach Iova Yikadshem, he would send to try to purify them, to sanctify them, whatever that means. V'hishkim baboker v'hela olot mispar kulam. He'd get up in the morning and offer korbanot ola, the number of all of them, assumably the children, the parties. Ki amar Eov, because Eov said to himself, ulai chatu vanai uverchu Elohim bilvavam. Maybe my children sinned and cursed God. Kocha yaseh Eov kol hayamim. I mean, this is what we have described about Eov. There's one pasuk about his character. The rest of the pasukim are his children, his possessions, his children making parties with the possessions, and Eov's fear that maybe they're sinning at these parties, and he's trying to be mechaper for them. What impression is this supposed to make? What are we supposed to take away from this? And I think that this story reminds us very much of another person in Tanakh who had children who were not living up to the standards that he and they were meant to maintain, and who was punished severely for not insisting for not working, educating them and insisting that they do things properly. Mm-hmm. And that person is Eliyahu Kohen. Eliyahu Kohen, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Shmuel is sent, you have here the Psukim, Shmuel Aleph Perek Gimel. Hashem sends Shmuel, who's going to take Eli's place, to tell him that he's going to be punished, his line of kahuna is going to be cut off, he's going to die, and his line of kahuna is going to be cut off. And of course, Pasuk Yudalid, V'lechein nishbati levet Eliyim yitkaper avon beit Eli bezevach uvimincha ad olam. And I swear that I will not allow karbanos to be mechaper. Sadly, many people have thought that you can bring karbanos as atonement for sins without doing tshuva. So Eli, maybe he'll bring karbanos on behalf of his children to repair, to atone for their sins. Chas v'shalom, it's a chilul of the chilul of the karbanos. Eov is afraid that his children aren't doing things properly. So a whole process begins where after their parties he brings kapara. And then they make another round and he brings kapara. As it says here in Pasuk, hey, kocha yaseh Eov kol hayamim. He's constantly doing this. What should he be doing? He should be telling them off. He should be clarifying if they're doing something wrong. He should be telling them it's not acceptable. He should be stopping the parties that are being using his rechush for to celebrate. And we see a number of people in Tanakh who were great tzaddikim, yirei Elokim, as it says about Eov, but who did not influence those around them, who did not influence their family, their generation. An excellent example of this is Noach, who Chazal see as culpable for the generation dying in the Mabel Mei Noach, because he was meant to impact those around him. And it's interesting that when you talk about Avraham, who we know impacted the people in the world around him, the Nefesh Asher Asah B'Charan, and his attempt to spread the word of God, it doesn't say in the beginning of his life he was a Yirei Elokim. About Noach, about Eov, but only he's a Yirei Elokim, which means he was a frum guy. But the question is, how did that spread beyond his frumkeit? Seems it didn't, or didn't enough. With Noach, with Eov, and a very powerful grouping of the two of them with Daniel, we find in Yecheskel, Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Yudbet, it says, Vayid Var Hashem Elai Lemor, Ben Adam Eretz Ki Techatali Limol Mal, Venatiti Adi Alea, Veshavarti Lamatei Lechem. When a nation has sinned to me, a land has sinned to me, and I raise my hand to break their staff of bread, and I send famine that strikes people and animals. Pasuk Yudalet. Ve'ayu shloshet ha'anashim ha'ele b'tocha. You have these three people who live there, Noach, Daniel, ve'Eov. Hema v'tzid katam yinatzlu nafsham. These three will be able to save themselves with their own tzidkus. Pasuk Tedvav. When I send wild animals to desolate the land and kill the people who are sinning, Pasuk Tetzayin, and these three people live there, will they be able to save their banim uvanot, chilling in light of Eov? Will they be able to save their children? Hema levadam yinatzelu. They'll only be able to save themselves. And it goes on to talk about when armies sweep through and when plagues sweep through. If a person's righteous, he might be able to save himself. But is he going to be able to save his children if they are not righteous? The way someone can save their generation, the way someone can save even their own children, is by impacting them, by getting them to be righteous. Bringing korbanos on their behalf is not going to work. Noach survived the Mabel, but Eli was killed for not being mechanech, his children. Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Vav, the next source in the Makoros here, talks about how a complete mishmar of Kohanim were punished because of the action of one member, Miriam Bas Bilga, who converted to the Greeks, and when the Greeks entered and defiled the Beit Mikdash, she came in with them and started mocking the Mizbeach and complaining about how it ate so much, consumed so much of the money of the Jewish people. So the Gemara asks, okay, she should be punished. Why was the whole Mishmar punished for her disgrace of the Mizbeach? And the Gemara says, people speak based upon what they learn at home. The only way she would have spoken this way about the Mizbeach is if she heard it from her parents, who may not have converted, but they spoke about the Mizbeach with disrespect, and that's why she did. And so the suggestion I'm making is that the justification for punishing Eov had something to do with the children who were punished, who were taken away. And if you look in the first parak, you can even see a linguistic link between the actions of the children and the description of the punishment. If we remember, we saw in Pasuk Hey, let's go back to Pasuk Dalet. It said, "V'olchu v'anav yasu mishteh beit ish yomo." They made parties each day in another one's house. There was a round of parties. Pasuk Hey, "Vayiki ikifu yimei hamishteh." There are these day cycles, these week cycles,
In the end of Pasuk Hey, Kacha Yaseyov Kol Hayamim. There are these days of the parties. Pasuk Vav. Now we shift the camera shifts to God and His angels. Vayehi Hayom. What does Pasuk Vav Vayehi Hayom refer to? Well, I might suggest it refers to the days when the parties are happening. And maybe you'll disagree with me, which is why in Pasuk Yud Gimel, the next time the Malachim are described, it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayehi Hayom, same phrase as we saw in Pasuk Vav, Uvanav uvnotav ochlim v'shotim yain b'veit achiyam ha-bechor. The brothers and sisters are eating together in the Bechor, maybe the first day of the round. Umalach, Ba'el Yov, etc. Even though it's being described there in Pasuk Yudalid, it's not what happened to the children. The partying of the children is described in the backdrop of the first Onesh. Maybe to show you that this is why it's happening. Because of these parties. And this maybe can explain in Pasuk Vav the interesting way the Malachim are described here. They're described as Bnei HaElohim. Maybe to parallel the Bnei Iov. Iov has his children, God has his Malachim. Iov's children are misbehaving, and God's Bonim are commenting on it, are going to respond to it. And the Satan being the one who's going to respond in the sharpest fashion. Okay. In the second part of Perek Aleph, we have, of course, the description of Iov's suffering. And Iov's suffering is presented in a very comprehensive way. First of all, there are four stages. Very often in Tanakh, we find punishments coming in waves of four. You can see Yecheskel Yudalud, the psukim we just read, that described first famine, and then wild animals, and then Pasuk Yud Zayin, armies attacking, Pasuk Yud Tet, Dever, plague attacking. Yirmiyahu Perek Tet Vav is another example of this. In addition to the number four, we find that the punishments come from different directions, the four directions of the earth. The first attack, Psukim Yud Dalet and Tezvav, are from Malkat Shva, Queen Sheba. Where did she live? Reference to the Middle East. She lived in the south. Pasuk Yud Zayin, we read about the attack of the Kazdim, who lived in the north. Then in Pasuk Yud Chet, we read about winds, maybe a tornado, that come from the Midbar. The Midbar in the Middle East is in the east. And finally, going back to Pasuk Tet Zayin, it talks about Esh Min HaShamayim, fire from the sky. We call that today lightning. And storms in the Middle East came from the Mediterranean Sea, from the west. So they're coming from all directions. They're coming from humans who attack and nature that's attacking. So it seems like the whole world is against him. Not just happenstance attacks of human beings, but even nature from the sky, from all directions. So Iov is meant to feel that the whole world is against him. And what's most interesting is to see how Iov hears about things, which is the same way that we hear about things. Let's tune in here in Pasuk Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. It says in Pasuk Yud Gimel that the children are eating and drinking. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Umalach ba'el Iov. And a messenger comes to Iov. We're not told about it. We're told about how Iov is told about it, because that's what's relevant for us. And we're not told that it happens. We're told about the report to Iov. The Malach comes to Iov and he says, the animals were out grazing, Pasuk Tet Vav. And Malkat Shva, the Shva came and took the animals and killed all of the servants. End of Pasuk Tet Vav, very important. V'imalta rak ani levadi. And only I escaped. Why did I escape? The messenger sees it as lehagid lach, to tell you. I escaped, I think, to tell you, to be the one to tell you. It's important not only that these things happen, but that you'll hear about it. And again, that's part of the suffering. If a tree falls in the forest and no one knows, it doesn't make noise. It's when these things happen and Iov is going to hear about it that causes him frustration. Pasuk Tet Zayin, let's look carefully. Od zeh midaber v'zeh ba. The one is in the middle of talking, another one walks in. Almost like it's timed. And it is timed, not by them, but by whoever is setting up this whole thing. And he talks about how the lightning struck and the Pasuk Tet Zayin. V'imalta rak ani levadi lagid lach. And again, only I escaped to inform you. Next, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Od zeh midaber v'zeh ba. The second one in the middle of talking, and the third one comes in and talks about how the Kazdim attacked. End of Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'imalta rak ani levadi lagid lach. And only I escaped to tell you. Pasuk Yud Chet. Ad zeh midaber v'zeh ba. Vayomar, your children were eating and getting into level of severity. Vine ruach gedola ba pasuk yudalid. The winds came from the midbar, and they touched the four corners of the house and toppled it on your children, and they died. End of pasuk yudtet. Vim malta rak ani levadi lahagid lach. And only I escaped to tell you. Four notifications, one on the heels of the other. Boom, 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 boom. Could it be coincidental? Eov is meant not only to suffer, but to feel like the deck is stacked against him all of a sudden. Why? Where is all this coming from? The very end of Perek Aleph, which we'll focus on more in Perek Bet, because Perek Bet focuses on it, begins talking about Eov's response. Pasuk Chaf. Vayakom Eov vayikrat milo. He gets up and he tears his cloak. Vayagaz et rosho. He tears the hair on his head. Vayipol arza vayishtachu. And he falls down and prostrates. Yomer, and he says, Arom yatzati mi beten imi v'arom ashuv shama. I left the womb with nothing, I'll return with nothing. Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach yishem Hashem mevarach. This pasuk of Aleph, is one of the pasukim we say, or are meant to say, when we suffer, when someone dies, right? In English, Christians also say it, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. But we say it, of course, if it comes from here. Right? We say it in Ivrit, Hashem natan v'Hashem lakach yishem Hashem mevarach. What a noble response by Eov. Right? What a noble response by Eov. Easy come, easy go, we might say. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. May the Lord be blessed. And that's why it's fitting when we're told in Pasuk Chaf Bet, B'chol zot lo chata Eov v'lo natan tifla l'elokim. Whatever happened here didn't cause Eov to sin. And he didn't doubt God. So you read Perek Aleph, Eov comes out smelling like roses. And in fact, we're going to see in Perek Bet that when the Malachim regather with the sudden, God's going to say, hey, you see, I was right, pay up. And we'll see the Sutton has what to say. And we'll see how Eov slowly falters. And we'll also talk about why he falters. What was wrong with his view initially that led to him eventually not being able to withstand what happened? And what was the final straws that caused him to fall? So each time we'll do a Mirtz Hashem, two prakim, one 20 minutes and then the other 20 minutes. Okay. Questions? There are no questions. Yes.